Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted and privileged to welcome a very senior professional from Wellington, New Zealand, Mr. Jussi Luukkonen. Jussi, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Ashutosh. It's a privilege to talk with you and discuss about these very important matters.
Thank you. Jussi is a leadership coach. He's a facilitator and a speaker. He's an author of 6 books. And all of you know, I'm very partial to authors. And he's also trained as a theater director. So Jussi, before we get into coaching and your books, tell me about your journey from Finland to New Zealand and from theater to being a coach.
Yes, actually, it's a full circle because when I was a theater director as a very young man, it was coaching. So if you want to create beautiful theater which touches the audience and takes them to a journey, you need to coach those actors to bring the best out in themselves. Mm-hmm. So it's a coaching with the vision of bigger goal. And when I'm now coaching leaders, it is similar type of thing. I try to coach those leaders to find their true character, build the character so that it will talk to their audiences in a genuine and true way and have integrity in the messaging they are using. So that's a full circle coming from theater. How I came to New Zealand, that was just almost coincidence. 16 years ago or 17 years ago now, I met one recruiter in, I think it was in Germany. I was on a work trip there. She saw my presentation and asked me if I'm interested in working in New Zealand. And to cut long story short, about 2-3 months later, I was on a plane with my family flying to New Zealand and starting my new life here. So it was kind of leap of faith, but I've always done those things. I trust my gut and I always believe that tomorrow is better than today and today is better than yesterday. So that's why I'm always open to new challenges.
Fantastic, fantastic. So let's now talk about your journey, your learnings as a leadership coach. How did you determine that coaching was for you?
I didn't really ever thought that I am a coach. I thought myself as a creative person who loves to see patterns and conceptualize those findings in a way that could help people then build something beautiful. So I always have had the need to work with people and help them to get best out in themselves. And then over the years or decades, people have come back to me and asked me to pick my brain. Okay, could we sit down? And like today, I just had a meeting with young leader. She's in her early 30s. And it was actually then just coaching discussion. Mm-hmm. It went over 1.5 hours. And I realized that this is what I like to do. I'm like an optometrist. Help people to see better their life and their business. And you know, I prescribe better lenses for them to see the world clear.
Better lenses with the right power.
Yes.
Wonderful.
And good frames.
Absolutely. Well said. So, Jussi, now moving on, given the amazing background you have had, how has your background impacted your coaching philosophy, your style, and your values?
In many, many ways. And I think the most important lesson I have learned and how my background has taught me is that never mix personalities with their actions and the role they are playing. Every one of us is worthy of respect and and full and potential person. So mm-hmm. so every one of us has infinite potential.
Yeah.
And the coach is there to help people to tap into that potential mm-hmm. and not judge or not teach, so to speak, mm-hmm. but help them to open their hearts and minds and spirit so that they can embrace their own power better. Mm-hmm. And that has been, the theater has been there, the main influencer, because when I was a young theater director, I realized that people are diverse. They are so different that I don't have any means or tools to judge or put them in the boxes. The only thing I can do is to try to understand why they do things, how they do things, and then what they do is just kind of outcome of all those things. But if I look at every person I've coached, it's been a journey to open up their infinite potential.
Amazing. Because of the kind of people you have interacted with and different countries that you have worked in, my next question is, how have you been shaped by people in your life and how are they influencing you as a coach today? And do give me some examples.
Well, good example, for example, is my wife. She's mm-hmm. Japanese. Mm-hmm. So me as a Finnish man, I was born in Finland during 60s, 50s, right after the Second World War. Mm-hmm. So I belong to a generation that was still brought up in a very rural setting. Mm-hmm. And the world was far away. It was very close, small, homogeneous society. Mm-hmm. And then to be married then decades later to a Japanese lady, mm-hmm. it has given me a way to kind of breathe in and breathe out different cultures, to understand in a family settings what diversity really means. Mm-hmm. And my wife has been teaching me as a person how to read other cultures. And we can see that in our son, who is now 19 years old, mm-hmm. who speaks fluent Finnish, Japanese, and English, wow. how he can then read other people, other cultures, mm. without judgments, just embracing their humanity. Mm. So that's one example. And then the second example is New Zealand itself and my friends here, because like in one job I was at a few years ago, we calculated that we have 19 nationalities mm-hmm. in that work.
Yeah.
So New Zealand is extremely diverse society. Mm-hmm. And then we have very strong indigenous culture called Maori culture here. Mm-hmm. And listening and learning from Maori people, from their cultural heritage and from their approach to life, mm-hmm. that has taught me a really important lesson also to embrace the diversity mm. and understand mm. that we all are interconnected and we can't in this lifetime do anything alone. We mm. always need other people. And those things have been very beautiful lessons to me to learn mm. coming from, small, tiny little Finnish village mm. where mm. everybody were white, blonde, blue-eyed people who
yes.
had, very deep Lutheran religious yeah. beliefs. And mm-hmm. suddenly to be married to a Buddhist lady, to be in diverse culture in New Zealand, wow, that has been
absolutely
fantastic journey.
Absolutely. I mean, imagine Dutch, a Finnish guy married to a Japanese lady living in New Zealand. What could be more diverse than this? fantastic. So you see, moving on, when I was reading about you, there's another question that came up. What is incomplete from your past that may be affecting your ability to be the best coach you can be?
There are a lot of things that still wait to be kind of coming to the surface. Mm-hmm. I'm always searching my soul. I'm always trying to find those things that I need to open up to be able then close the loops. And I think one of the biggest loops that I still need to kind of complete is the fact that I need to go back to my creative roots mm-hmm. and focus more, because now my age, I have 20, 30 years maybe left. Mm-hmm. I need to kind of give back and complete the loop by, for example, go back to the theater in some way or form, maybe not directing, but maybe supporting, you know, art community and help young creatives to find their own path. Mm. So that's the big loop that I'm kind of closing and making sure that my legacy will be that of a creation mm-hmm. And embracing the beauty of life.
Mm. Very interesting. My next question to you, Yusi, is how does the historical context in which you were raised impact your view of yourself, your clients, and your coaching?
My father was a farmer, mm-hmm. and he was a person with very, very, very few words. Mm-hmm. I hardly ever had a conversation with my father, verbal conversation. Mm-hmm. And it is strange because I'm talkative and my father was totally silent person. Mm-hmm. And from my father, I learned to observe, because that was the only way to communicate with him, to mm-hmm. observe and to understand him on a new level. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, my mother, she was very intuitive and really, she was, sometimes she was almost like a mind reader. Mm-hmm. And from those two people, I learned to listen, but also to observe and go beyond words. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people have told me that it's even scary because I can say things that press the buttons because my intuition is strong. Mm. And when that happens, it usually, I have learned to control that part of myself.
Okay.
But when I was younger, I could be quite direct. And if I saw that somebody is faking or somebody is not, you know, true to themselves, I could really, you know,
get to the chase.
Say something that wasn't not that polite. So I have learned to keep my mouth shut more mm-hmm. than earlier, but I still have this kind of training from my parents to observe and use my intuition and not believe everything, you know, what I see without going beyond those appearances.
Mm. How interesting. So one more question related to coaching and then we'll move to your books. What are some of your unique perspectives that you bring to your coaching engagements?
I think it is this crazy creativity and conceptualizing trait. I quite often can help people to conceptualize their world. I can model I can help them to model things and build, you know, structures, mental structures, so mental models. So I think that's something that I'm quite good at. And together with creativity, together with building models and seeing patterns in everything, and then with very strong intuitive kind of gut feelings. That's often I've seen coaches are very rational people and try to keep things, you know, on a rational level. Right. I'm not that, because I know that life is bigger than your intellect.
Correct. 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 Well said. So now I'm going to move to your books. You're an author of 6 books. Yes. Tell me about these books. But before that, are these books available on Amazon?
Well, the earlier versions of my books are not available anymore. They are out of print because mm-hmm. I wrote them when internet wasn't actually a thing, and Amazon Kindle wasn't even available. Mm-hmm. So my first book was written 1996. It is in Finnish. The title was, if I translate it in English, it's something like guidebook about multimedia, interactive multimedia for communications professionals. So it was just very tightly written for people who were working in communications, mm-hmm. marketing communications, to help them to understand what is this digital communications, what does it allow them to do, how to produce proper digital content and mm-hmm. deliver it.
Right.
Then I wrote several books around that, like one book for content writers, how to write better content for digital media. Mm-hmm. Then I wrote with my friend a book about intranet, how to use internet and intranet for company mm-hmm. Purposes. I wrote with my friend a book about e-learning, 2002. The title was e-learning, mm-hmm. again in Finnish. And I think it was in Finland, it was the first book about e-learning in Finnish. Then I wrote a book about visual thinking, see, watch, and observe, mm-hmm. Translated in English. It was for Finnish, again, communications professionals, a book to help them to understand how to use visual thinking methods and tools to come up with better ideas. And then my latest book, which is available in Amazon and Apple Books, is called Digital Campfires. Mm-hmm. It's this kind of thing. And this is now the latest one. I wrote this about 1.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it is kind of summary of the subtitle is Learn, Lead, Leverage Digital Media, which means that we are now in a reality where digital channels and methods and tools, they are like logs. We can throw them in this digital campfire. But the more important than those tools are those stories we tell. So we need to go around this digital campfire and learn to tell those stories to each other and come closer to each other. So I have never been interested in just tools or technologies, but I'm really, really geeky in that way that I want to have everything I do somehow using the latest possible emerging technologies. So digital campfire is a metaphor for bringing people back together, because social media has made us so, it's our ugly beast. Sorry. And we need to learn to listen our stories, other people's stories, better. So that's in short my journey as an author.
Well said. But I have to ask you this question. A theater director who has now become a coach, how did you get such an amazing understanding of the internet and digital, the digital world?
That was funny. Again, coincidence, even though I don't believe in coincidence, I'm a Buddhist. So it was 1987. Mm-hmm. I saw a Macintosh computer on the desk of my friend. And I already had computer a few years, and I couldn't do anything with those ugly, terrible MS-DOS machines. But then I saw Macintosh, and on that machine there was a program called HyperCard, made by Bill Atkinson, and it was the first interactive multimedia development platform for common mortals. Mm-hmm. And next day I went to bank and took a huge loan and bought my first Macintosh, and I was hooked. I was just fascinated by the fact that I can create non-linear, interactive story structures. And then I started to learn more, and I was not learning technology, but I was learning how to use that technology for storytelling. Mm. And then one thing led to another. There's one story that the personal assistant of the CEO of Apple Finland called mm-hmm. me and asked me if I could train their people to use this program, HyperCard.
Wow.
And I was a theater director having, you know, first night coming, and I said, what? I'm a theater director. I can't teach your people. You are importing these machines and you are the creators of this program, HyperCard. So you should know.
Yeah.
And she told him, but we thought that, you know, you are the only one in Finland now who understood, you know, what to really do with it. But when she told me how much they would pay for a training day, I just asked, okay, where do I come and what do I wear?
Well said, well said, well said. So, you see, now my last question to you, and this is for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation. Based on this incredible life journey that you have had across so many countries, so many different specialisms, and we just learned about your digital story also, what would you say are three lessons you would like the viewers and listeners to take away?
The only thing that is important in life is to build compassion, wisdom, and courage.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three things from my life that every day I think that, how do I be more compassionate?
Mm-hmm.
How can I build my wisdom mm-hmm. based on reason and facts,
yeah,
and not my opinions or biases? Mm-hmm. And how can I find courage mm-hmm. to do the right thing? So those are the things. Be compassionate, be wise, and be courageous.
Amazing. And on that note of be compassionate, be wise, and be courageous, thank you, Yusi, for speaking to me. It has been such a privilege. I've learned a lot of new things from you, including coaching is being like an optometrist who actually gives the coachee a new lens to look for. Thank you for sharing with me your incredible story and your amazing journey. And thank you also for sharing with me so many of your excellent lessons. Thank you for speaking to me, and good luck.
Thank you so much, Ashutosh. It's been a privilege to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.